couple of weeks ago, my son was standing at half court at Exley Elementary, and he took a football and he faced one of the goals and he kicked it from half court. And the football went through the goal. Now, it's hard enough if you take a basketball and you shoot from half court and you try to get it to go through the hoop. In fact, I think at the Rockets games, if you do that, the owner will donate, $5,000 to charity? He does it before the game. But it's even harder if you take a football from half court and kick it and try to make it go through the hoop. I think if my son Gabriel, I thought he was supposed to be in here this morning. He's not in here. But he did it at Exley Elementary. You know, it's 10 times, 50 times, 100 times harder than shooting a basketball. I don't think Gabriel will ever be able to do that in his lifetime. Maybe if he does it 1,000 times, he could do it again. But it's almost a miracle, you know, almost impossible. But Gabriel did it just a few weeks ago, honest. Now here in our church, and all around the world, tomorrow we are going to be celebrating one of the greatest miracles of all time, and that is the virgin birth of Jesus. And yet, for many of us, we've heard this story so many times that we may have become desensitized to it. It's kind of the same story again. And so it loses its freshness, its impact upon us. Now, maybe for some of you, this is your first time to be in a church right before Christmas. And so it's not the same old again. But whether you're in here this morning for the first time or for the 50th time, it's my hope that as we hear the account, the narrative of one of the greatest miracles of all time, the birth of Jesus, that it will strike us fresh, strike us anew, and impact us so that we can apply it to our lives today. So how can we allow the message, the story, the account of Jesus to impact us in a fresh way today? I want to do that by looking at the account in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. Now, actually, in all my years, this is the first time that I have preached on the Luke passage, the Luke account. So it's fresh for me, and I hope it's fresh for you as well. So let's look at Luke. How can we allow the story of Jesus, his birth, this Christmas, to impact us today? Well, let's take a look. Now, we in Katy Christian Community Church have been going through the birth narrative. We started with the announcement to Mary and her response. Last week, Mr. Randall took us through Mary's Magnificat, her praise to God, based on the confirmation from Elizabeth that she would have the promised Messiah. This morning, we're going to go right to the story, the birth of Jesus. And so let's take a look. Luke starts us out in chapter 2, verse 1, and he tells us that in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. So Luke sets the historical backdrop for us. We have a decree that's issued by the great Roman ruler, Augustus, Caesar Augustus. It's during the time or before the census was taken by Quirinius, which most scholars see as sometime around 6 AD. I like the translation better that this in chapter 2, verse 2, that this was the registration before the registration, the famous registration of Quirinius, because most of us think that Jesus was born around 4 BC or so. So Luke is setting the backdrop for us, and he's giving us the impression that this was coming about because of a decree from the great Roman ruler. But we all know that behind what is going on here, that this wasn't something that was conjured up, that was arranged by the ruler of the earth, but that this was something that was organized, that was orchestrated by the great ruler of the universe, that God was the master chess player, moving all the pieces, working through the great Caesar Augustus, but also working personally in the lives of Mary and Joseph and their baby. And we see this as he continues on. That in verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Once again, we're seeing that this is a great king who is going to be born. Bethlehem being the city of David. Now, oftentimes in the Old Testament, we see that it's Jerusalem that is the city of David. However, there are references to Bethlehem also being the city of David. And he continues on that Mary is with him, his betrothed, or some of your translations says the one to whom he was engaged. I actually think the better translation here is that they were already married, but their marriage had not yet been physically consummated. But perhaps the best way we can translate this here is that they were engaged or that they were betrothed, because it might be somewhat unlikely for Mary to travel with Joseph back to his hometown if they had not, in fact, been married. And she was with child. And all the events are coming together in verse 6. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth just at the right time. And verse 7, she gave birth. Here it is. Here is the moment in history. Verse 7, she gave birth to her firstborn son, probably because he had the priority and the rights of that firstborn son of inheritance, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, the common practice in that day to keep the limbs of the baby straight was to wrap them in swaddling cloths. And yet something uncommon, and laid him in a manger. Who would do that? Who would? I know some of us have had babies recently. Who would take their newborn son and put him in a feeding trough of cattle with hay? No. We're going to put him at Methodist Hospital infant bed. So this is a little strange, a little different, unique, because there was no place for them in the inn. And again, probably not a hotel like we would think of today, but quite possibly a cave or even the first floor of a two-story house, because perhaps many relatives were coming to gather. And so there was no room where the bedrooms were on the second floor. So they had to put him on the first floor where the animals were kept when it was cold outside. So the stage has been set for this great once in history event, the miracle birth of Jesus. And so as we look at the stage, at the background of the account, what can we take away from this? Well, Remember that Luke was writing this probably around 60 AD, and he was writing it to Theophilus. And as he was writing to Theophilus, Theophilus and others may have had a question. You know, is it worth it? Is it worth it that all the sacrifice, all the persecution that I must endure because I'm believing and following Jesus? Is it worth it to keep believing, to keep following Jesus? And Luke, as he introduces the person of Jesus to Theophilus, he answers with the resounding, yes, yes, it is worth it. Because you may think that it's the human ruler who's orchestrating the events of life, who's putting all the pieces together, that it's the great, powerful Caesar Augustus. But no, it's not. God is behind it. God is behind the person of Jesus. God is behind the birth of Jesus. And so as we enter into this Christmas, like Theophilus, let us marvel. Let us trust. Let us marvel in our sovereign maker. God is in control. God created Caesar Augustus. God created Mary. God created Joseph. God is behind it. Caesar is not in charge. The president is not in charge. God is in charge. Marvel at your marvelous maker, your sovereign maker. As you enter into this Christmas, thank you, Mary. And how does that make a difference in your life today? Well, it gives us peace. No matter who's in charge, no matter who is in charge politically in government, we can have the peace of God because we know that the ultimate authority, the ultimate king, the ultimate person in charge is not Caesar. It's not the president. It's God. And so it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or you're Republican or who's sitting in the White House. Because we know that God is sitting on the throne and he's in charge. And so we can have peace no matter what. But not only in the realm of the powerful and the political, but also in the realm of the personal, we can marvel at our sovereign maker. And so whether the circumstances of your life go for your good or go for your bad, you don't have to complain. But you can still trust in your sovereign maker. And just this last week, I had it all planned out. I was going to mow the lawn on Wednesday because trash pickup was Thursday. And I wouldn't have trash pickup for a whole week and a half because of Christmas. So I had it all planned out. I had the master plan. Mowed the front lawn. Started on the back lawn. I know some of you guys can't relate because you don't mow your lawns. Okay, but let me tell you, you know, those of us like to do a little labor, we got to mow the lawn. So I'm starting on the back lawn and I'm pushing my 15-year-old hand-me-down lawnmower. And then the back axle of the lawnmower wheel breaks. It just broke. Now the right side axle broke about 3 months ago. So 3 months later, yeah, my left side axle breaks. So my plans are dashed. I can't mow the lawn to get it ready for trash pickup the next day. But I didn't have to complain. Why? Because God is in control. God is still in charge. And, you know, so often when something like that happens, I often think, oh, maybe God wants me to witness to the lawnmower repair center attendant. Unfortunately, I didn't think of it at the time, but as I was preparing for this sermon, I thought of it later. So I didn't have a chance to witness to him. But for other attendants down the road, the furniture store attendant, the grocery store attendant, the art store attendant, I had opportunities to remind myself, take advantage of the opportunity to plant seeds of the gospel. Hey, would you like to know something about the meaning of Christmas? Hey, your name is biblical. Zoe. I met an attendant. Her name. I like your name. So God is in control. So we know that no matter what happens, if you fail the test or if you succeed, if you get the job promotion or if you do not, if you get into region or if you do not, you can praise God because all things work together for good to those that love God and to those who are called according to his purposes. So marvel this Christmas. How can the story of Christmas impact your life in a fresh new way? Marvel at the sovereignty of your Maker. No matter what circumstances go. Now, don't use the sovereignty of God as an excuse. Okay, oh, I'm not going to witness to my neighbor because, you know, sovereignty of God. If he perishes, he perishes. Sovereignty of God. Oh, I'm going to go out the night before my big presentation. I'm going to party it up. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go do it up with my friends. If I do miserably on my presentation tomorrow, sovereignty of God. That's not how the sovereignty of God works. As my great theologian friend Han Solo said in the first film. Yeah, that's not how, you know, that's not how it works. No. Do your best. Be faithful. Do what is right. Do what is loving. And then whatever the circuit is, if you make it into region, if you don't, if your basketball team wins, if it don't, if the Rockets lose 15 games, win 15 games, praise God. If they lose two, that's okay. You just do your best and marvel at your sovereign Maker. Well, let's keep reading. Verse 8 tells us that after this miraculous event, verse 8, we have that this impact, this story is for the everyday man, the common woman. And while in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, the shepherd is similar to today's worker at McDonald's or at the grocery store, the common person. The shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. But it's not just the common, it's the glorious, it's the heavenly. Because look at verse 9, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. This fear that if the principal is in your classroom or the boss shows up, you think, oh, no, he's going to punish me. Oh, no, he's going to evaluate me. Oh, no, judgment. Oh, no, I'm in trouble. But the angel tries to comfort this fear. And he tells us in verse 10, the angel said to them, don't worry. Fear not. For behold, I bring you not judgment, not evaluation, not punishment. Good news. I'm here for good news, a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this day in the city of David, regal, royal, a savior, someone who saves you politically, releases you from the oppression of Rome. But also spiritually, we will find out. The Savior, there's three titles. Christ, the anointed one, the Christos, the one who will be the ruler of Israel, the eternal ruler of Israel. And the last title, the Lord. Here, Luke is simply introducing the term. He's not going to unpack the full meaning of deity right here, only for those who are familiar with the Jewish background, that this is the God, the creator. But for the Gentile readers, maybe we're not going to learn that much about it just yet. But he introduces it and he tells us that this is who is born. And verse 12, again, we're coming to the common and the uncommon. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. This was the common practice. And lying in a manger. Again, the uncommon. And suddenly, we're coming back to the heavenly. There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. But not only in the heavenlies, for the earthly and on earth, peace among those with whom he extends favor, with whom he is well pleased. And again, we're not getting the full impact of what this peace is, that it's the peace between God and peace between others. But we see heaven and earth meeting. That through this Jesus, the impact is glorious in heaven, in the heavenlies, but it also has impact and effect on earth. And so how can the narrative, the message of Christmas impact us today? We want to marvel at our sovereign maker, but let us also magnify the Messiah, magnify the Messiah. Now, how can we magnify? How can we make great, make big? I'm at that age where I have to magnify the small print. But I want you to magnify the Messiah. The Luke wants us to magnify the Messiah. How can we magnify the Messiah? We can do it through public praise. Through public praise, just like how the angels publicly praise the Lord, worshiped him. We see later in verse 20 that after the shepherds went and saw the child, they returned home glorifying and praising God. And so we too can magnify the Messiah, the coming King of Israel, through public praise. And next week, you will have the opportunity to publicly praise God as we have Testimony Sunday. And so I want to encourage you to this week prepare to share 1 minute on how God has been faithful to you in this last year and publicly praise the Lord. Another way that we can publicly praise God is as you're doing right now. Praise the Lord. Good. We're focusing on the Lord because he is the biggest. He deserves all the focus. And let us keep our attention on him and not be distracted by our devices or by our neighbor, but keep your focus on the Lord. So how can the story of Christmas impact us today? Let us marvel, trust in our sovereign maker, and let us magnify the Messiah. But as we continue on, in verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another. You see, the shepherds weren't content just to hear this announcement of Jesus. They wanted to experience it. They wanted to taste it. They wanted to see it for themselves. And so look what they say. In verse 15, they said to one another, let us, now look at the verbs, go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And so what do? Verse 16, they look at the verbs. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And again, verse 17, when they saw it, what did they do? Because they had heard, they had gone, they had found, they had seen, and so they could not help but to do what? Verse 17, they made known. They then declared, they then told. They went and told it on the mountain, as the song goes. They couldn't help. It was incredible and glorious. And so these are our first evangelists, if you will. And what was the response of some people? Verse 18, all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. This is not necessarily belief, but it's wonder. It's like, oh, what is this? They're interested. But we have the response of Mary. And we have the response of the shepherds in verse 20 that they believed. We know they believed. They returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. So, friends, let us this Christmas marvel at our sovereign maker, magnify the Messiah, and let us meditate Meditate on our Master. Meditate on our Master. See, Mary is our example. Look at her in verse 19. She's hearing all these incredible things about her son. Your son is getting praised by angels. The prophecy is being fulfilled. He's going to be the future king of Israel. And Mary is listening. She's hearing all these incredible things. And she's treasuring up all these things. She's pondering them in her heart. And that word pondering has the sense of mulling it over, meditating. And so, friends, this Christmas, yes, praise God you're here, that you're publicly exalting and praising God. But let us also privately ponder. This time of Christmas is a busy time. And we live in a culture and in a world that is busy and filled with media and input. And I want to encourage you, as you have another week or two of vacation, to take advantage of the free time that you have to set aside time and to meditate and to reflect on the value of Jesus. Anybody like to listen to the radio in the car? You're driving in the car? Or listen to music? That's okay. There's nothing wrong with listening in to the music. But maybe at times when you're just driving in the car, just turn the outside input off. No Tech Tuesday. Just turn the outside input off. And this may be a little different for you, but just take some time and pray. And ask God to speak to your heart through His Word. Another activity I want to encourage you is just to privately ponder on how valuable Jesus is. That He's superior and He's more valuable than anything you could ever want or imagine. So many of us are going to get gifts this Christmas. And here's our gift. Now, if you could put anything in that box, anything, and receive it as a gift this Christmas, what would you put in that box? You think about that for a minute. What would it be? $1 million? Not enough today, right? It needs to be at least $5 million, $10 million, $10 million? How about a special someone? Put that special someone in the box. How about happy children? How about happy grandchildren? I have years in life, and I've experienced many things. Okay, riches, worldly riches. Believe it or not, I have experienced worldly riches. Okay, I have. And romantic love. I've experienced romantic love. It's wonderful. Children? I've experienced children. It's wonderful. Grandchildren? Hi, Mayo. Okay. But I heard it's wonderful. And if you come to our council meetings, sometimes you'll hear the praises. Praise, I got a job. Praise, my daughter got engaged. Praise, my child got into a prestigious... Wonderful praises. But whatever it is you're going to put in that box, I can tell you from the Bible and from my own experience, Jesus is a better gift. Jesus is a better gift. And so this Christmas, as you ponder, would you think of what is it that you most value, what you think would be the greatest gift, and just think in your own mind, that the Messiah, the Master, is higher, is greater, is better. And I have stars on these four seats right here. One there, two there, three there, four there. What I want to encourage you to do this Christmas is you go up, you take a star, and you put it on that item that you look at the most? Just stick it on right here. Then every time you look at this treasure, you're going to remember Jesus is a better gift. You're going to ponder that. Okay? So during the response hymn, we're going to invite you. Come up, pick up a star, stick it on your smartphone. And every time you look at that thing, you're going to ponder and remember that Jesus is the best gift of all. So, I hope this morning that you've been encouraged by the story of Christmas, an old familiar story, but hopefully it struck you in a new way, that you can trust, no matter what circumstances you face this week, you can marvel and trust in your sovereign maker. You can magnify the Messiah, and you can meditate on the Master. Now, my most memorable Christmas was 28 years ago, almost 30 years ago, and it was in China. And I wanted to celebrate Christmas, but this was 6 months after a very historical event in China called the June 4th Tiananmen Square incident. Some of you, most of you, many of you were not even born when that happened. Some of us were alive. But it was a difficult time because the government, the society was very tense, was very strict. And so things such as religious or political activities were watched very closely. So we couldn't, there were just a couple of places in the city where you could go and publicly celebrate Christmas. Just a couple of places. But I wanted to do so with some of my buddies, with some of my friends. So I invited two of them. And we gathered together in a classroom, a university classroom, because in this country, Christmas was not a public holiday. Schools were still in session. Everything was going on as normal. So we found a classroom. It was cold. There were cement floors. There were, you know, wood fold-out chairs. And we just sat there, the three of us, and we read the Christmas story, and we sang Silent Night. And that's how we celebrated Christmas. Now, the government, they didn't want us to do that. But they weren't in charge. The God of the universe was in charge. He was in control. And so we could trust, we could marvel at our sovereign. We weren't thousands of people. We weren't hundreds of people. We were three people. But the three of us could corporately and together praise and worship our God. And yet, we were small enough in that cold, quiet classroom that we could personally and privately meditate and reflect on the incredible value of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Friends, this Christmas, marvel, magnify, meditate, and have a very meaningful and merry Christmas. Lord, we indeed praise you. Because you are worthy of our praise. There's nothing more exalted than the Lord Jesus Christ in all of the universe. Help us this Christmas to trust in your sovereignty, to magnify your name, and to meditate on who you are. You are worthy. We pray in Jesus' name.